Do you believe that there's something that God's going to speak to you tonight? If God's going to speak something to you tonight, you got to have ears on to hear, right? Jesus had a lot of people, you know, that were around Him, listened to Him, walked with Him. And He made this statement. He said, "You who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit's saying." In other words, their spirit was saying something, but not everybody was hearing something. Right? Come on. So we have to on purpose go, "Lord, I got my ears on." Right? I got, there was an old CB term. "You got your ears on?" Meaning, are you on the line? Listen, God, I got my ears on tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 3. The book of Hebrews in the third chapter. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the book of Hebrews, and it's written, obviously, to Hebrews, to the Jews, but it has a lot to say to us. And tonight, I want to look at this. I want you to begin to understand how it is that you must enter into your rest. You must enter into your rest. In other words, rest isn't automatic. There's a lot of turmoil in the world, right? There's a lot of things going on. I mean, if you listen to everybody, and I'm telling you, I'm about ready to just turn off all electronics completely, because it's nothing but division and divisiveness, and it takes us out of rest and puts us into turmoil, right? But let's start out in verse 1. We're going to find out tonight how to enter into rest. And you know what? I got to pray for somebody the other day, and I went into there to pray for them because I'd heard something, and I got mad. I got mad at the devil. Right? What are you doing, you know, picking on, you know, God healed. You know, I mean, I got mad when I went over to pray. It's like, no, this ain't standing in Jesus' name. But watch this. In verse 1 it says, "Therefore, holy brethren." You know, we could just go right past that, but think about what he's saying here. "Therefore, holy brethren." You know, I don't always feel holy. You won't believe this, but I don't always act holy. You can get Renita's opinion on that. I don't always, right? She'll back me up. She's really good. But watch this. "Therefore, holy brethren, we are holy." Let me say that one more time. If you are in Christ, you are holy. Should we act holy? Absolutely. But our holiness is not based on our actions. Yeah, amen. Amen, Linda. Thank God for that. Our holiness is based on our relationship with the one who is holy. Let's keep on reading, because I can get bogged down and we'll spend the whole hour on this verse. "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus. Consider him when you're thinking about your life and how you're not measuring up, and how maybe you haven't done enough, you haven't prayed enough, you haven't read enough, you haven't studied enough, you haven't done this enough for that. Listen, it isn't about you. You can't do enough to equate to the holiness that's required to be called holy. Because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But because I'm in Christ Jesus, He's made me holy. And He's not only my Savior, He's the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now watch this. The high priest under the Old Testament, they took the offering for sin for the whole nation of Israel, and they went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled that blood of the goats and the lambs and whatever, and sprinkled on the altar, and it was accepted. Every year he did that. Jesus is my high priest. And he did it once and for all and forever. When I mess up, he doesn't have to get up and say, "Oh, Lord, there's Bruce again. I got to go sprinkle some blood. I got to go, you know that guy down there, he's a mess. I got to go." No, he said, "It's already done. It's finished. It's already complete. And I've been made a partaker in the covenant that he's given to me." Woo, glory to God. It's not about me, it's about him. But I have to consider him. Ever say that? I have to consider Jesus. In all my life, in everything I'm thinking about, in everything that I'm going through, I've got to think about Jesus. What effect does it have on me right now, what Jesus did 2,000 years ago? How does that affect my decision? How does that affect my life? How does that affect my prayer? How does that affect how does that affect my peace? All of it, I must keep in consideration that Jesus is the one who took my place. Glory to God. Woo! Who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who buildeth all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of the things which would be spoken afterwards. But Christ, as Son over his own house, whose house we are. Let me just stop for just a minute. But Christ is a Son over his own house, whose house we are. I am in the house of God. I am in the house that Jesus built. I am a part of the church that Jesus built. And Jesus said, "This is my church, and upon this rock," he was talking to Peter, "upon the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Glory to God. Come on. I need to talk to you about who you are and what position you have in order for you to get to the place where you begin to understand that I have a rest that's available to me, and I must walk in it. If I'm not walking in it, then I'm not truly considering Jesus. Come on. I mean, we all have struggles. We all have troubles. We all have a fight in our own minds, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. We have a fight in our mind that we must get a hold of. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go with me to rest and rest. And the term rest means to be at peace, to be at ease, to be comfortable. Right? I've been on vacations before where you're moving so much you never have rest at all. Right? You just, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that. You come home exhausted. I need to go back to work to get some rest, right? but the reality is that our position in Christ, in the Spirit, the work has already been done. And we can walk in that rest if we'll get a hold of what I'm talking about. But the rest is a result of the finished work of Christ. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Say that with me. Rest is the result of the finished work of Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to see some things here. It's just too good to be true. Glory to God. Jesus, I can't take my eyes off of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 6. Being confident. Everybody say confident. Say it more confidently. Confident, right? Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Of Christ Jesus. Come on. being confident of this, that He who started the work in me will see it through to its completion. Right? Glory to God. I believe that God is still working on me, but the reality is He's already done all the work so that I could be complete in Him. Come on. I'm holy because He's holy. I'm righteous because He made me righteous. I'm sanctified because He set me apart. Right? Come on. I am one with the Father because He made me one with the Father. I have access to the throne of heaven because Jesus paid the price and His blood was enough for me to come boldly before His throne of grace. Come on. Go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Just a few pages over. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse, let's start in verse 9. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, talking about Jesus, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. You are, say I am, complete in Him. I'm a finished work in Christ Jesus. Come on, I'm finished. It's done. I am one with Him. I am one with Him, but I have to believe that. Did you know that when you truly believe something, you'll act like it's true? And if you don't act like it's true, then you wish it would be true, but you don't really believe it's true. It might be true for you over here, but it's not true for me because I'm not as good as you. Listen, don't compare your goodness with another human being on the earth. Because their goodness is as filthy rags before God. The only goodness that we should compare ourselves to is Jesus. And the only way that I can be good in His sight is to be in Him. Come on, I'm in Him. What does that mean? What does it mean to be in Him? It means that when He took my place on the cross and I came to be co-partners with Him, the Bible says that we're co-heirs with Him, joint heirs with Him, that just as He is, so am I on this earth. Now we're going to talk about that because not all the time we feel that way, right? Sometimes it just doesn't make sense, and we'll figure that out a little bit. But just for the sake of argument and the reading what the Scripture says, I'm just going to believe that I'm complete in Him. Come on. I'm complete in Him. I'm a finished work in Christ Jesus. Come on. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Glory to God. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. Hebrews chapter 13. And look at verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you that is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is doing the work in me. Jesus is doing the work in you. And it's all being done because of the covenant that was ratified when He went to the Holy of Holies and God accepted that blood as a sacrifice for you and I. I'm not trying to get clean before God. I am clean before God. I am clean before God because He made me clean. Right? I'm not coming. See, I'll never enter rest until I believe that the work that He accomplished applies to my heart. Because I'll always be in my mind going, yeah, but what about this? And the enemy will say, yeah, but you know what you did. You know who you are. You're not as good as this person. Or, yeah, you said some words you shouldn't have said. Right? Or look at what's going on in the world. I mean, that person didn't get healed. How could God be the healer? Right? He'll get in our heads and pull us away from rest into turmoil. But when we figure out that, wait a minute, I don't have to figure any of that stuff out. I just have to stand in the position of being in Christ. I don't even know how it all works, Lord, but I'm just receiving and accepting what you said is absolute truth. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, it's kind of interesting. There's a saying that said, if so-and-so says it, you know that's the gospel. Meaning that they're trustworthy, man. If they say something, you can take their word for it because it's absolutely truth. Well, I'm telling you that Jesus has said some things. The Holy Spirit has said some things through the apostles that are absolutely, completely true. And He's working on us and will continue to work. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 3. Y'all good?
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 3. We've got to get to the place where we just understand that we can rest in the fact that Jesus has done it all. And my identification is not in me any longer, it's in Him. I stand before you tonight. I stand before God in heaven. I stand before the devil in hell. Watch this. Complete in Him. Glory to God. You know, it's kind of interesting. I said the devil. No, never mind. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11. And we can go through the whole... Let's go back up to 7. I'm sorry, Mike. Verse 7, it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice today, tonight, right now, if you'll hear His voice. Anybody want to hear His voice? Right? You're hearing His voice because I'm reading the Word, right? Okay? You're hearing His voice because the Word and He are one, right? If you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. For where your fathers tested and tried me and saw my works for 40 years, therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they will always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now it's interesting. He says, don't harden your heart. And He said, they went astray in their heart. Now, I believe the heart, what He's talking about, is where everything connects, where your spirit and your soul connects. I'm going to speak to you tonight that your spirit is already perfect. When you became born again, your spirit man was made righteous. Your spirit man was made holy. Your spirit man has faith. Right? But the soul is still carnal. What does that mean? It's fleshly. It still thinks some of the same thoughts that it used to think. It still has perspectives that are not correct. It has perspectives that aren't right. And we've got to get a hold of our soul, renew our minds to the Word of God so that our hearts can be in line with God's heart. Your spirit already is, but when you get your mind going in that direction, they connect. And then peace will be there instead of turmoil. Right? Where does turmoil come from? What you're thinking. Right? It is the devil's the ultimate source, absolutely. But it's your thoughts where turmoil is allowed in your head. Come on. We want to enter the rest, we've got to get out of turmoil. And if we want to get out of turmoil, we've got to change the thoughts. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Glory to God. It says, now look at verse 12. Beware, brethren. Beware, brethren. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people who believe. He's talking to the holy brethren. Remember, we read it in verse 1. But he says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief is evil. Unbelief is evil. Why? Because it's from the evil one. Right? Well, God said that. Surely God didn't say that. When he first came on the scene in the form of a serpent to Adam and Eve, surely God has not said. Or surely he didn't mean that. Or surely he's... No, listen. If God said it, that settles it. Right? And so I need to come to the place where I'm letting those thoughts come into my heart rather than the thoughts that are evil. Come on. I've got to come to the place where I believe that He is who He said He is. And verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. In other words, we've got to continually talk to ourselves about who we are in Christ, what Jesus did, and this is my reality. My reality is not based on my circumstances. My reality is not based on the news. My reality is not based on whether inflation is coming. My reality is not based on anything but what God has said. See, I'm talking tonight about entering into your rest until you come to the place where you start to do something about your flesh and the thoughts of your flesh, you'll never enter into the rest. Right? And you know, our flesh is pretty loud. Right? Our flesh, I mean, the worldly thoughts, the worldly things, lust, whatever, and it's pretty loud. But you have authority over that loudness. You have authority over that. Look, if you're caught in something just keeps happening and happening, I want you to begin to stand up and get up in the morning and say, today, I'm telling you, I will not tolerate that in my life anymore. Lord, I repented of whatever I did, but I am not going to allow that spirit to draw me away from the holiness of God. But you've got to become steadfast in doing it. You've got to begin to let your spirit man rise to the top and push your flesh aside. In Galatians, the Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? I'm walking with my eyes on Him. I'm praying in the Spirit. I've got the Word of God on my lips. I'm letting His thoughts run through my head. Are you with me? Come on. I'm telling you, this is victory. You know, it's awesome, and I've seen it happen where we line people up and we pray for them and they get delivered of something. That's awesome. But you know what? If you don't do something with their mind... It may not be today, it may not be next month, it may not be for a year from now, but pretty soon there will be something come back and say, you remember me? And if you don't give them something to fight that with, say, yeah, I remember you, but you're dead because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That old man is dead. Come on. In fact, let's look at that. You know the Scripture, but let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. And verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anybody in the room in Christ? Anybody in the room in Christ? You're in Christ, right? Right? What? So what? He is a new creature or a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now let me just stop there and explain this a little bit. What became new? But what part of you became new? Your spirit became new. Because your soul still had some of the old thoughts that it used to have. And when I got saved, I looked in the mirror. I looked exactly like I did the day before. So my flesh didn't change. My body didn't change anything. But something happened when I became born again, and I became brand new. Everybody say brand new. New creature in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Watch this. This is so incredible. He took what was stony, what was against God, the very thing that didn't have a part or relationship with God, and He took that out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And then He put inside of me a heart of flesh, a brand new heart, a brand new container. Watch this. But in that container, the Holy Spirit dwells. The Father speaks to me through it. That's the part of me that's brand new. I'm not going to get to heaven and look any different in the Spirit than I look right now. I'm a spirit being, but I'm a spirit being that's been born again. When Adam sinned, he became dead in the Spirit. And what that meant was he was separated from God. But when Jesus came and took my place, and the moment that I said, Jesus, be Lord of my life, I took on eternal life in my spirit. What does that mean? There are scriptures that just blow your mind. I have the mind of Christ. The Bible says that I have the mind of Christ. But that mind of Christ has to be filtered through this noodle. And so I have to, on purpose, think about the thoughts of God and put the thoughts that are contrary aside so that the thoughts of God can be prevalent in my life. If I want to enter into His rest, I must believe that when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Come on. Look at verse 21. It says, He who knew no sin became sin that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now listen, some might stone me, but that's okay. In my spirit, man, I'm just as right before God as Jesus is right now. Right now. Now, I don't think the thoughts that I should think all the time. Right? But we've got to take this seriously. If we're going to enter into our rest, then we've got to do something about what we're feeding into our minds that's contrary to what He said. Are you listening to me? All of us have the ability to put our flesh under because Jesus gave that to us. I want to take you to a couple of scriptures. We must believe that we are in Christ. Do you believe? Do you have that confidence? Are you confident that you're in Christ? Right? Don't let anybody talk you out of it. I'm in Him. Somebody come to me and say, well, do you know you're going to heaven? Yep. Well, how do you know that? Because I know it. Well, but how do you know it? Because I know it. I know it because I believe the Scripture, but I also know, I remember the day, the second, the absolute time when He came into my heart and He changed me from being what I was to what I am. Are you listening to me? In the Spirit, I can still remember the night. I can remember walking into a room one way and walking out a completely different way. It was one of those houses that had the concrete steps that had three or four steps to go up to the front door. But I felt like when I came out of that room, I just floated off of that because I was free. I had been away from God, but the moment that I gave Jesus my life and let Him be the Lord of my life, I was now connected with God. That hasn't changed. My behavior didn't make it so that I could be connected with God. Watch this. My behavior cannot make it so that I'm separated from God. Because Jesus paid the price for me to be right with God. Now watch this. This is really incredible. Go to Luke chapter 5. I saw this today as I was in my devotions this morning. And I'd never thought of it this way. And I just think it's so cool. Luke chapter 5. And go to verse 36. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "No one puts a piece of a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new one makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new one does not match the old. And no one puts a new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst, and the wineskins will be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, that both are preserved. And no one, having drunk of old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better." Watch this. Here's the deal. When I became born again, I had to become new on the inside, because the new one is the only one that could contain the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't say, "All right, I'm just going to patch you up and see if we can get you through until you get to heaven. And maybe you're going to make it, maybe you're not." He said, "No, what? I'm going to make a new man. Because I can't patch up the old man. I got to get rid of the old man and put a new man in his place." Right? And so he did that. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. You're a new person in Christ Jesus. So in order for us to have the ability to enter into the rest that Jesus completed the work, we must see ourselves as in Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when the devil starts to put depression on you, you go, "What? You said what? Let me tell you about who I am. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about who He made me." And if you got a problem with that, take it up with Him. But you see, Jesus gave us authority on the earth because we're in Him. We are the church. We're His house now. We're the ones that He's established for us to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. They were all going, "Jesus, man, just establish your kingdom right now. Go into Jerusalem, kick butt, take names, kick the Romans out, and let's get on with this thing." And He said something silly. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." Huh? You see, they were talking temporal things, things of the earth. He was talking eternal things. When Jesus becomes Lord of your life, when revelation becomes a part of who you are, then He establishes the kingdom of God in you. I have the kingdom of God in me. Now, if I'm just looking at the whole picture and I'm letting my mind just run wherever it wants to run, I'm never going to see myself as a new creature in Christ Jesus. Did you know that faith is not your problem? Faith is not your problem. Why do you say that? How much faith does it take? Jesus said, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, "Be gone," and it'll be cast into the sea. It doesn't take a lot of faith. What's the problem? The problem's unbelief. Unbelief will dig the seed out. Unbelief will take it out. So we must come against unbelief. We've got to talk to ourselves about unbelief. We've got to talk to ourselves about what the Word says. We've got to make a stand on the Word of God. We've got to stand up to the bully that the devil would try to use to keep us from peace. I want you tonight to be able to enter your rest, but I can't come to your home and drive out the unbelief. You have to. I said, you have to. Glory to God. Lord, we believe But help thou our unbelief. Go to Mark chapter 9. See, if you get this right here, it will help you a tremendous amount. Mark chapter 9. And let's start in verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Because Jesus was just talking to him. He said, "Listen, if you believe, all things are possible, right? Your son will be healed. All those things, that'll happen." And he said, "Listen, I believe, but help my unbelief." Watch this. You can have faith and unbelief at the same time. How do I know that? Because Jesus, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he said he's given to every man a measure of faith. I have faith. I'll tell you one more. I have the faith of Jesus in my spirit man. If I could put off this flesh from the standpoint of throw it aside and throw my mind off aside, I'd be walking giant in Jesus. But I have to enforce what Jesus did with my words and in my actions. Right, here's what the enemy will do. He'll say, "Listen, yeah, you're saved, but you're a sorry Christian. You're not as good as this one. You're not as good as that one. You're not, you don't measure up." But Jesus would say, "I didn't redeem junk. I didn't come so that you could continually put yourself as a second-class citizen. I came that you might have life and have that life abundantly." Right? But we have to enforce that in our lives. We have to speak to our lives. We have to talk to ourselves. I've said this before, but you talk to yourself all the time. You might as well be talking the right thing rather than the wrong thing. How many have done something stupid? "Oh, you stupid idiot." Come on, have you ever done that? Right? "How could you be so dumb?" Those words are poison to your heart. Those words, I made a mistake. Okay, I made a mistake. I'm going to get up and try it again. I'm going to get up and go again. I refuse to back down. I refuse to put a stranglehold on my mind that doesn't allow the Spirit of God to have His full way in me. Look at Matthew chapter 17. So we need to get rid of the unbelief. How do you get rid of the unbelief? By reminding yourself what Jesus said and then applying that to yourself. I mean, scriptures like, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me the strength. Nothing's impossible to those who believe. Lord, I believe and I'm working on that unbelief because I want to get to the impossible thing." Right? What mountain is too big for God to come through? I mean, and honestly, in looking at things in my own life, it's like I'm looking at the need through my ability to meet the need instead of through my faith to receive the need. What do I mean? Well, I've got just this amount of money and we're just a small church, so how can we ever afford a building? How can we ever do this? How can we ever do that? How can we ever... Listen, you got to get that unbelief out of the way. You got to see, God, what would you have me to do? If you want me to have a $10 million building in downtown Port Orchard up on the hill, then God, that's no problem with you. I believe God, but there's still some unbelief there. So I don't have to work as much on the faith as I do getting rid of the unbelief. Right? When that unbelief comes, I can't just play with it. I need to deal with it. I need to understand that that unbelief is keeping me in the impossible instead of all possible. Are you with me? Come on. There's nothing you can't do. And I just got to testify that we've watched it happen over and over and over again. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. Then the disciple came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" But Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and by fasting." Let me say something. Prayer and fasting will never get a mountain to move. Never. You can pray, you can fast all you want. It's not until you get the unbelief out, come on, that the mountain will not move, right? When you get the unbelief out, and you do that by prayer and fasting, why? What does that do? Prayer and fasting puts you in a position where you're hearing from God, and you're letting His mind saturate your mind, and you're beginning to put His thoughts in you, and you're telling your flesh, you're not getting what you want, you can't have what you want, I'm getting in the position where I can hear from God. And when you hear from God and you drive the unbelief out, then nothing's impossible. That demon's coming out. Come on. That need is going to be met. Come on. That sickness has got to go. Glory to God. This lack has to go. This poverty mindset has to go. All of that has to go. And I refuse to walk in turmoil when the Prince of Peace has come to make His abode inside of me. And He even prayed that I would be at peace at all times. He said to be of good cheer, "My peace I leave with you." And it's only the unbelief that's keeping the peace from being active in your life. Come on, glory to God. Hallelujah. There is nothing that's impossible with God. And if there's nothing that's impossible with God, all I need is one word from Him, and that means that it's not impossible for me also. Glory to God. I just got to tell you, there's so many things. I remember when Sarah came to us years ago and she said, "Listen, here's what I want to do." She came into my office. I still hear her saying it. "I want to rent Miracle Ranch for the whole weekend. And we're going to take every foster kid that's in Kitsap County. And we're going to host them at Miracle Ranch for free." At that time, I was not making all the bills. There were months where I didn't take a salary, paid the bills, and I got caught up later. I mean, that's where we were at the church, right? But I didn't listen to my head, because in my head was going, no way. But in my spirit, I didn't allow that to come. I said, "Lord, what are you saying?" My spirit said, "Do it. Do it. Do it." 2 years in a row, we rented Miracle Ranch. We invited every foster kid in Kitsap County. Now, come on, that's from Paulsville all the way down to where I live, down in Olalla. Come on, all over, every one of them came, and we filled Miracle Ranch. Thank you. We filled it, and not only did we fill it with kids, we had prizes galore. They all went home with something. And somebody said, "Listen, they all have to have a Bible." So they bought us cases of Bibles so that we could give them out. But just because I didn't let my mind go to unbelief, I kept it in the belief. Right? And so sometimes you have to hook up with that belief part and drive out the unbelief part. So you can't let your flesh dominate you. You can't let your thoughts dominate you. You've got to come back to dominate them. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. does lie. Yeah. Absolutely. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. 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 Come on. Absolutely. Come on. Yeah. Yep. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. I'd rather be crazy for Jesus than go to hell like you. See, we have to get to that place where we're beginning to speak what Jesus said. We're driving out the unbelief. If we want to enter our rest, we cannot play patty cake with unbelief. We've got to come to faith and say, no, I'm standing on my faith. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let's pray. We have to close. Father, we thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. I'm determined, Lord, to be at your rest. I'm determined, Lord, to get your best. I thank you, God, that you can make a way where there is no way. In the midst of the desert, Lord, there's a rest coming in the promised land. And all we've got to do is walk through the promise, irrespective of the circumstances that are around us. God, we're leaning into you, we're believing you, we're thanking you for your goodness and your mercy. And in Jesus' name, God, thank you for us. And the whole thing is all about your relationship with Jesus. So get right with Jesus. Make your heart right with Jesus. Ask Him to be Lord of your life. Give Him your whole life, and everything changes in Jesus' name. Thanks for joining us. Amen. Amen.